Like you say, good afternoon to everyone. We're very thankful that you're on the call this evening. Appreciate you so very much for all joining our call, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We appreciate you so very much. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, you got to do it the way God has said, do it. And what he told us to do to be saved was to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Must believe that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. Same blood. For those who may be visiting us from other congregations, we appreciate you so very much. Pray you will be blessed through the message this afternoon. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, where I'm going to go start at, but I want this afternoon, lasting for a short minute here, it won't be long, want to give us all the importance of being thankful as children of God. We're truly blessed, brothers and sisters, to be Christians. We must always be grateful for the goodness of God. Let me give you a definition of gratefulness. Webster's definition: a feeling of expressing gratitude, being thankful or appreciative. Gratitude is a feeling of thankful appreciation for favors or benefits received. A warm, appreciative response to kindness. We want to build thankfulness in our lives as Christians. If you're not a Christian, I hope you will become a Christian, that you too can be thankful in your life for God and all he can do for you and has done for you, will do for you, if you just allow him to come into your life and be obedient to his gospel message. As we see from the definition, to say I'm thankful is to say I'm grateful. Of these character qualities or expressions of children of God, it indicates the character of the child of God. The Apostle Paul, I can't think of anyone better to give us a picture of being thankful than the Apostle Paul. Notice what he said to the Colossian Christians in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, this is it, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice this: giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, we had a good Bible class today and talked about being grateful of what you put in your mind and how appreciative you and how peace we can be at peace with God. Being at peace with God, oftentimes we ask a lot of God. But in this lesson, I'm encouraging us all to say, you know, let me be a grateful Christian, one who can thank God for all the good things that he's done in your life and all that he can do. The Apostle Paul was known as the chief of sinners. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry. And see, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Why, Paul? Verse 13, he said, here's why. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. But I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeded and abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Notice what he says, how he viewed himself. Of whom I am chief. Paul said, I was the worst of sinners in his mind, he was. But Paul, throughout his letters and in his writing, Paul was able to give thanks to God. And one of the things that helped him, we can see here, is that he saw himself as one who was not worthy to be put into ministry. He seen himself as, he knew his past, blasphemer. He was a persecutor of the church. And you see how God blessed them with mercy. And how the grace of God was exceeding abundant. So Paul is in the mindset of, I have all the reasons in the world to be thankful. Because I think I'm the worst of sinners. Paul, throughout the letter, we're going to walk through that. In Romans chapter 1, I'll give you several scriptures you want to keep notes here this afternoon. Where Paul says in Romans 1:8, first, he said, I thank my God. So he identifies as a personal relationship with God. He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. See, Paul was thankful. I'm going to come back and recap that, you know, for not just what God did for him, for the people he put in his life and all the people that was in his life. And this is something we all need to be understanding as Christians, that God will put us in the people's lives, and there will be people who will be thankful that we're in their life. But Paul understood that it was God who did it. And we too must be thankful for the people who come into our lives. Can you at this time think of people in your life that you should be thankful for? Or perhaps somebody has reached out to you and they want you to be a part of their life. You thank God that he's giving you this opportunity. Now you take this opportunity so that person can be grateful for what you will bring in their life. Your faith, your love, your care. Paul was like that. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, Paul then again see himself as someone unworthy. He said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see how Paul was thinking, because he saw himself as a chief of sinners. He saw himself as a wretched man. And we always sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, to save the wretch like me. We see, when you can see where you were, and you can be more thankful to God for who you are today. In Romans chapter 7, verse 25, then he comes back and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the laws of God, with the flesh, the laws of sin. He knew being in the flesh, he would be tempted to sin. He called himself wretched. But he thanked God that through it, in his mind, it's kind of what we talked about this morning, Bible class, what was in the mind of Paul is where he came from, who he is today. That he knew he could serve the laws of God. But with the flesh, there would be the law of sin. Are you thankful this afternoon that you're not what you used to be? You may not be what you want to be. But this lesson is trying to encourage all of us as entitled to this lesson. Just giving thanks to God. You know, maybe in your prayers today, tonight, later. Hopefully this lesson will resonate. You know what? Let me just thank God for all. You know, we always asking God for what we need. Bring us through this and that. And take care of our family. Take care of this and our children. And help us get through the storms of life. But how often do we say, Lord, I just thank you? Paul was like that. In Romans chapter 16, verse 3 through 4, Paul writes in this chapter of the book of Romans, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of Gentiles. You know, he was looking at these people that God put in Priscilla and Aquila. They risked their own necks, he said. There are people out of your life, and so perhaps each of you can think of someone. I can think of people who blessed me in so many special ways, being in the church 30-some years, 37. But the people who gave of themselves to make your life better, or to teach you as a new convert, or to
to share with you during times of difficulty, to share their faith, to be there with you. The members of the church at Hollow Heights Media have worked together with Brother Brooks, and we love you. I love you, but we all should be. I thank God for all of you who God has put in my life. And you should do the same thing. You know, the people in your life are special Christians that are trying to help you get to heaven. And we ought to be thankful. Or you do, can you think of someone right now that's in your life that was a big part of your Christian life that you should thank God for? Do you have a Priscilla and Aquila in your life that you need to give thanks for? And then Paul said, not only that, all the churches of the Gentiles. See, just in the book of Romans, Paul says, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for you all. I'm grateful for somebody in particular or any particular congregations he would mention. Paul had gone through a lot of trials and tribulations. As we've been studying the thorn of his flesh as we did this morning, last Sunday, he'd gone through a lot, and he knew he needed the grace of God. He expressed gratitude for those with whom he ministered who were in as much danger as he was. And Paul was thankful for the people in his life. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my mom, my dad, my sisters, and my brothers, my family, my children. And then you bring the family to among Hollow Heights. I mean, a lot of times, some of you may think Brother Brooks fussing, or he's saying this or that, and that's going to come, that's going to happen. But that comes with preaching. But I want to thank God for the church. I thank God for what we've gone through. I thank God for each of you. And I pray, my prayer is that someone on the call can say, well, I thank God for Brother Brooks. And I know that's the case because I get a lot of encouraging text messages. Got some today in regards to sermons this morning. Not all sermons are going to have a need to say thank you, but there are times where it's something you really need. There'll be times when some of you don't like what I say, possibly. But it's not that you're not grateful. We're all grateful. We should be grateful. And we should show our gratitude and appreciation for, as Paul has done, not only for himself, he's thankful for Jesus. He was thankful for the people who served with him. He was thankful for all the congregations he went and had time to help. He expressed gratitude for those he ministered to and those who ministered to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, let's turn to the Corinthian letter. Look what he said to them. He said, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. He said, thanks be to God. Notice what he said, who always leads us in victory in Jesus. Man, we sing this song, Victory in Jesus. But Paul is saying, God always leads us into victory. You know, it's important that we know who's in the lead here. Who's leading our life? Who's guiding our life? Let God guide your life. That's why Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And when you start putting the information, as we studied in Bible, because James Boutte did a wonderful job, is that we add all these things to our minds, what we put in our minds. And this evening, we put it into your mind, like, are you grateful? Are you thankful? And Paul says to them, you know what? I've got to thank God, Jesus, who leads us in victory and triumph. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16, Paul says, But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. Paul says, boy, not only does he thank God for himself, but Paul is grateful that God has placed the same care in others as he's shown in him. Aren't you thankful that God is not a respected person? That God will bless you and he'll bless me. We're grateful. We thank God for everything he does. We pray for each other. We laugh together. We cry together. We sing this song, God's family. And we sing that song. We're part of the family. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sorrows. What are you saying? God has the same earnest care for all of us. And we should be thankful. God, he cares just as much for you as he does for me. Are you thankful this afternoon that God has put that kind of care in you and others in your life? Let's go to the Ephesians letter. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Paul says here, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Is there someone in this on the call today that you know you need to mention in your prayers? That we don't need to, you don't need to cease, you don't need to cease to give thanks for them. And we mention those people. You should mention, Paul said, I make mention of you in my prayer, and I give thanks for you. You know, when people in your life can make some difference in your life, give thanks to God for those people, those saints he was talking about, and mention them in your prayers. How many of you have mentioned someone in your prayer that you know, this has been a blessing, this person has been a blessing to my life? I encourage you to do that today in your prayer. Think of someone that you are thankful for. Send them a text. Say, you know what, I just thank God for you. You've been my encourager. The time you say things, or, you know, we think of people who, like Brother Curry, just send text messages. People, I heard Brother Butte say this morning. But I get them. And, you know, everybody's not going to get a text their life, Brother Curry. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. When you're thankful for those people, say it to them. Mention them in your prayer. Thank God for those people. And that's what Paul was doing. To the Ephesians, in the Ephesian letter. And let's go to Philippians letter. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Paul says here, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Can you think back and remember someone that you can thank God for in your life? Boy, I really can. I think about people like Bob Adams, my new convert teacher. I thank my God every time I think about that man, how he blessed me the first 2 years as a Christian to really take me in on his arms. Those who know me, I've always mentioned him, and Bethel Smith. I thank God for him. Do you have somebody in your life that every time you remember them, you thank God every time you think about him? Paul said, always in every prayer month, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul has some appreciation, didn't he, for people who had been in his life and had touched his life. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, back to the Colossians letter, Colossians 1 and 3. So we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Told them, then drop down to verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of him, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. With joyfulness, watch verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he's telling the Colossians here, yes, you know, he said, I do not cease to pray for you. I want you to have the knowledge that you need to get to heaven. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to have spiritual understanding. I want you to be able to walk worthy of the Lord, be fruitful. I want you to increase in your knowledge. I want you to be strengthened with all might. I want you to learn to live with patience and long-suffering and with joyfulness. And then he comes back and says, I'm giving thanks to God because he made us, you and me, partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life, who had delivered us from the power of darkness. So we include them. When he thanked God, he went back. He said, God did this. Here's how I personally feel about you. But God had made us all meet to be partakers of the inheritance. We're going to be able to see heaven one day together. He got us out of this darkness, the power of darkness. We're in the kingdom of his dear son now. And he gave God the thanks. I thank God. Do you thank God? Paul said, I not only pray for you, I'm giving thanks always for you. I'm praying you will give thanks. That you remember the things what God has done for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 17, Colossians 3, he goes to say, Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Now, whatever you do in the name of Jesus, you give thanks. Notice who said, to the Father through him. Why the Father? Because God so loved you that he gave his son. And Paul reminds them that you give thanks to that Father. In your prayer, give thanks to God the Father who gave his only son for you. And he said, through him, meaning in your prayer in the name of Jesus. Paul understood that no matter what I do, whether it's in my word or in deed, I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to give God his Father thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 11, to the Thessalonians, he says the Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Paul says to them, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus, in the sight of God and Father, knowing the love, brethren, your election by God. What did Paul say? Here's what I'm going to do. I want to mention in my prayers your works, your labor of love, your work of faith, mentioning God, thanking God for your patience, and thanking God for the hope that's in Christ Jesus. When we thank God, Paul is telling these people, these Christians, I make mention of y'all in my prayers. How many of you in your prayers are mentioning people who are strong in the Lord, who are still hanging in there, people who you know didn't give up, that held on their faith, somebody who brought you food and you were hungry, they just brought you groceries, or somebody that blessed you through something, somebody who was patient with your growth. And so you can think, I can go on and on of things that you should be able to even summarize for yourself, people that I need to be thanking God for. Perhaps a wife is over here who need to thank God for a husband, for his labor of love. A wife, a husband who needs to thank God for his wife, who has a labor of love, has labored and loving you. And so Paul is teaching us, when we give thanks, we mention those people in our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul again says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So here's Paul thinking about people who he was able to teach. He said, he was telling the people who was able to teach that received his teaching, his word, the word of God, when he taught it to them. I mean, if you think about what Paul is saying here, he was thankful for people he was able to reach with the word of God, people who obeyed it, who understood what he was teaching them was from God. It was true. It was the word of God. And after he seen, as he taught them, he could see the word of God working in them because they believed it. You know, I think of many people over my years of ministry that I'm thankful to receive. It's always the thrill of victory. Think about the people you've taught prosperity, of people who come to your life and they heard what you was teaching. They received it with meekness. They heard from you. They welcomed the truth. And people who are seeking the truth, welcome the truth. Yeah. Paul said, you welcome it not as the word of me. You work, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Amen. So when people, it's a good thing. It's easy to criticize somebody to do it. But boy, think about the people whom you taught. Another thing about myself, many people I've taught, but how I can look at them now. Many have been baptized in my ministry, and I see them now, and I see them growing. I see them, the word of God working in them. The thrill of victory should be for us. It's when we can teach someone, and they receive it and obey it. That's a wonderful thing, because you save the soul from losing their soul. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 3, Paul said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitted, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. You know, you thank God, I thank God for, think about the people in our congregation. And we know there are many who still can't come right now because they're sick or shut-in or they're restricted some kind of way, providence is hindered some kind of way. You know, God knows. But here's the thing. We are brethren. And we are bound, Paul said. It's our duty to thank God for it. When we see people's faith growing and their love for the Lord is growing, and their love for each other is growing. It's a beautiful thing I've experienced as a child of God is the love of other Christians. When you know you're going through something and somebody has come to you and perhaps rub you on the back and says, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. God going to take care of you. And it really feels good when you know these are people that's been with you and they know you're going through some things and they come to you and they express their love and their concern. And they say calm and comforting words. And that's important as a family to know our faith is growing and exceeding. Our love for each other is growing. And so we want to continue to be that type of a Christian. We never lose sight of the importance that we're bound to thank God always for others who are brethren in the church. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says again, but we are bound to give thanks to God. I mean, it's necessary. We have to do it for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, boy, it's really a blessing when people receive the word of God with meekness and their salvation, they have received it. And we give thanks for them. We give thanks for people who we serve and they're obedient to God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures to see, but I'm just trying to show you this, the mindset of the Apostle Paul, which we should have. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, I thank God who I serve with a pure conscience. This is what we talk about today, kind of having that mind. When you serve God and put good information in your mind, you think of the things that are lovely, the things that are pure. Paul says here, I thank God I can serve with a pure conscience. You know, that's important, that if you live a life that you can, you know, you're serving God, you're really doing your best to be all you can for the Lord. He said, I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. With that season, he said, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Y'all see the trend? Paul, he was very unselfish. He was thinking of God. He thanked God for what he did for him. He was thanking God for the people in his life. Paul had a grateful heart. This is gratitude. Gratitude. In Philemon, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, he said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Notice what he said, I hear of your love, your faith, which you have toward Jesus and toward all the saints. So he told him, he said, you know what? I hear about how much you love the Lord, how much you love your, how strong your faith is toward Jesus, and not only him, your love for the saints. I want all of us, hopefully, to notice something. There are three things to consider about gratefulness, thankfulness, and grace after listening to the Apostle Paul. Number one, when you're really grateful or thankful, all you want to do is bless the people who are in your life. Paul always wanted to thank God or to bless other people and to pray for them and pray for God's blessing to be on them. Paul says, bless them. You know, that word bless means to be make happy, because that's all you can think about when you're really grateful for something somebody has done in your life. Whether it's God you're thankful for, another person, you're going to want to do good to those who love you, those who has blessed your life. Whether it is to pray for them, as Paul told us again and again and again through those scriptures, you can write a note, you can call them, you can do something for them, you can respond. In today's, we got emails, you got text messages, you got a phone, amen, you got FaceTime, you got all these ways to say thank you to somebody. I encourage everybody on the call this afternoon, send a text to somebody. Pick up the phone. You know, I just want to thank you. You've been a blessing to my life. Yeah, I'm telling everybody on the phone, as your minister, you all have been a blessing to my life. Some of you have been like mothers, a mother to me. And you know who you are. That means you didn't just let me get away with anything. You said what you thought. You told me when you thought I was wrong. I listen because I know what you're doing is because you love me. And there have been those who have encouraged me, those who have been there to care. That I think as I can do, you can do the same thing. And I'm thinking of people. I ain't going to call them that. I'm just thinking of people who have fussed at me one day, and the next day they come and hug me because they know they're there for me and they know I'm going through something. And immediately, their love response is there. Have you responded in love to anyone? Have you told someone, you know, what you told me, it hurt, but I needed to hear it? Have you ever told someone that, you know, what you said, you may not know what it meant at the time, but it was special to me? It helped me through that day. Have you done that? I encourage every person on this call to think of someone that you could pray for in your prayer and thank them, as some say, give them flowers while they're living. Do something. It is totally evident from Paul's writing, the Apostle Paul was a very grateful Christian. And all he wanted to do was express his gratitude for the people in his life. Expressing gratefulness is rare. Solomon talks about the sin of ingratitude. He calls it a common evil among men. Sometimes we're not grateful, and we don't express our gratefulness. What I'm encouraging you this lesson is that we just read 17 different passages, or more or less, somewhere there, from the Apostle Paul. And he was one of the very few people who spent a lot of time expressing gratitude in his writing. One of the main apostles that did it over and over and over. One of the key characteristics of an ungrateful spirit is a self-centered life. So, you don't want to be so focused on self that you remember, or you don't remember all of what God has done for you. what he's doing for you now, who he's put in your life, how many times he brought you through. If we just took a moment to think of what God has done in our life, if we would just take a second to think about your life, what age are you? How many times has God blessed you over and over and over again? When you think about that, all you can say, yeah, I give thanks to God. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Paul was grateful, a thankful man. Why? Because God had given him a deep love and appreciation for what he had. He had a deep love and appreciation for what God had done for him. That's why he says in 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 15, we read, I just thank Christ. He enabled me, counted me faithful, put me in the ministry, and he recapped his life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 through 10, when he ranked himself above the apostles, here's what he said. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. Apostle, I'm the least. See, he saw himself as the least of, below Peter, all of the apostles. I'm the last one deserving to be an apostle because I persecuted the church. And it bothered Paul that he done that. But then he said, you know, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, you can focus on who you was and what you done and all that. But Paul said, you know, I know why I'm able to be an apostle. It's nothing but the grace of God. And his grace was bestowed upon me, it was not in vain. Because I labored more abundantly than they all. You know how. But the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, God's goodness to me, it motivated me. His grace motivated me to do everything I could to labor abundantly because I know nothing but the grace of God and his goodness. Paul said, I am what I am because of God. Can you see how Paul was so thankful? Listen, there's not any reason why any of us can't be just like the Apostle Paul. An expression of our gratitude, our appreciation, and our love. Let's do this as a family at Holland Heights, if you're on the call. At Holland Heights members, let's make sure that we spend time encouraging one another, saying we love one another, express our appreciation for each other, and our gratitude. That God would be pleased with us. And we not only are grateful people, we appreciate the grace of God, his mercy, his long-suffering. And we appreciate and we are thankful for the body of Christ and members in particular. And each of us, Brother Paul was talking about his Bible, but everybody in the body is important to the whole. Just like the toes and the eyes and the ears. Everybody's different. They're all a different role. God brought us all together in one body. Let's practice this. Paul tells us that we each have received the same grace he did. That's what he tells us. The same grace of God that Paul received, we have received. Because the fact is, Paul wasn't, he saw himself as a chief. The way God seen him, all have seen him. And fall short of the glory of God. And we all needed the grace of God. And that grace came in the person of Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. The grace he's talking about was the grace, the unmerited favor that God given his son. His son giving us a chance to go from being the chief of sinners to a humble, appreciative, loving, thankful man of God as Paul was. He came from where he was to where he is. Look at your life, from where you were to where you are. Do you have reason to thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for his kindness? The grace in particular we're talking about is the grace that comes with Jesus, grace and truth. It was Jesus who came to this world and lived among men about 33 years. And he came, you all, because he wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be able to have our sins washed away in baptism. And he stayed here. And he was treated cruelly. He was treated cruelly. He was beaten. He was mocked. And he was hung on the cross. It was on that cross where grace would hang for us. And, you know, we ought to be thankful. That's why we have to hear the gospel. The story has to be told every time we preach, every time we teach. We need all need to be reminded what he went through for us, because that was grace at work. It was Jesus on the cross. Question is today, for everyone listening, perhaps you may not be a member of Apollo Heights, but I encourage you to do that for the congregation you're at. Or if you want to call and see, and you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're not a member of the church, Christ, you're not a Christian, but on this call, you can express your thankfulness to God for hearing this message, and that you have this opportunity to be thankful that God sent his Son, and be thankful that his Son suffered on the cross and stayed there 6 hours to save your soul. And be thankful and grateful enough to say, Brother, what must I do to be saved? I am thankful for God. You must hear the gospel. That's the death, burial, and resurrection story, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, of a suffering Savior who came to save your soul, Jesus the Christ. Number two, you must believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He to come, God must believe, as he rewarded him that diligently seek him. And then number three, you got to repent. You got to change your mind about living a life that does not include God. Let him be your life. Jesus, I stand at your door and knock. If you're open, I come in and suffer. How do you open that door through obedience to his will? Do what he say do. What did he say do? You hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent, make this decision, be willing to confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God for people, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you must be baptized. Why? Jesus commanded you. Mark 16:15-16. He said, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He said, Brother, what's baptism for? To wash away your sins. Right? Paul said he was the chief of sinners. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. According to Revelation 1:5, the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away. Acts 22:16, Saul, his name was Saul, before he became Paul. And God sent a preacher to him. And Saul was down praying. And the preacher told him to arise. And praying wouldn't save Paul. He said, arise. Why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sin. What washed away him being a blasphemer? What washed away him being injurious? What's one washed away Paul's persecution of Christians? What did it? It was the blood of Jesus. That's what did it. So that's why Ananias told him, Acts 22:16, why are you waiting, Paul? Arise, be baptized. Wash away your sins. They said, calling on the name of the Lord. And that's what you need to do this evening. If you want to call, you're not a Christian. Or perhaps if you are a Christian, whether at this congregation or other, you want to say thank you to somebody publicly. That's okay. Hit 5-star your phone. You might want to say, I just want to thank God. Somebody just really blessed your life. And I just say it as well. I just thank God for every one of you at the Holy Life Church of Christ. And I appreciate you. And then for those who may be joining us, we thank you. We appreciate you. And we love you. If you want to call this evening, we're going to thank God for every person on the call. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. Would you come to the Lord? You need prayer, you respond by hitting 5-star. If you want to get baptized, respond by hitting 5-star. You want to make a comment, hit 5-star on your phone, and we will listen to what you have to say this afternoon. May God bless you. I hope you enjoy the lesson. Giving thanks to God.